Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrates the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings and welcome to Voice of Olympus here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. This is Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'll be flying solo for most of the show. Athena Victory will be joining us a little later on today. Today is a special show because we have Kevin Kennedy as well as Tracy Kennedy speaking on behalf of the Unarius Academy of Science, and we're starting a new topic for the show, which is exploring past lives. And tonight's episode is the first of a trilogy. Greetings, Tracy and Kevin.
Hi, Hercules.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, great to have you both on. And Kevin, I'm honored that you've graced us with your presence on the show. We've had Tracy on before, but I think this is the first time you're on.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for having me, Hercules.
Now, Unarius, I guess we'll give people an introduction to Unarius. Unarius is not a religion, but it's a spiritual science whose purpose is to help people evolve through their experience here on Earth. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay, fantastic. And I discovered Unarius, well over a decade and a half ago. And it's impressed me as a very common sense and very interesting path to take in terms of discovering who you are and what your place is in the universe and so forth. And Unarius is one of the inspirations for our new show, which is going to be called Pride of Olympus, which will focus exclusively on that topic and very little else. And of course, I'm going to have you guys on there as well. But tonight we're going to just basically lay some groundwork and establish a foundation. Tonight is also our first call-in show, so it's a historic moment for the Voice of Olympus. So without further ado, thank you. It's taken long enough. I'm very slow with this technology, which isn't cutting edge, but still for me it's new. So I'm proceeding at a pace that's comfortable. Without further ado, Tracy and Kevin, according to the Unarian teachings, why are we here?
Well, basically, we're here on Earth to learn. This life that we're living right now, is you can liken it to a schoolroom, and it's through this process of going through many different experiences that we're able to extract from them, if we understand, the positive value of those experiences and grow. And so each lifetime can be looked at as a day in a class, and this lifetime is the result of so many of those different past lives that we have lived before.
That is very well said. Tracy, do you have anything to add to that?
He was very concise. I
very
agree totally.
I thought so too. Now, where a lot of people have difficulty, especially when undergoing difficult times, is what is the purpose of this school why are we here in a school, and why don't we remember what came before?
That's an excellent question. And the reason why we don't remember is it would overwhelm us, and we wouldn't be able to handle all that information because of all the trauma and the negations and the misuse of energy in our past lives that are affecting us today. So we learn what we're capable of learning and what we're able to open up our consciousness to. And the purpose is to, as Kevin said, to better ourselves and to free ourselves from all the karmic accumulation debris that we've incurred.
Kevin?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is that if you know, think of it in these terms, if you've lived, which for the most part, most of us have, thousands of different lifetimes and all the different experiences we've gone through in those different societies and civilizations, if we were to remember all of those at once in our conscious mind, we go berserk. So it's set up, you know, intelligently through infinite intelligence that we don't remember on a conscious mind level, but we do carry the result of all those experiences in our consciousness. So that's why, if you look at it, we have different things that we do extremely well. Each one of us has, you know, different talents, quote unquote, that, you know, for the most part people think are God-given, but aren't bad at all. It's things that we've learned and earned. And then we also have also the insecurities and inhibitions that hold us back from these different lifetimes. So really, again, you know, the whole object is that all of us are here to grow and to learn and to eventually evolve into those, you know, godlike figures, whether it's, you know, Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or whatever, these to become as a light bearer and intelligent being ourselves.
Which is a very worthy goal.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, and we actually do carry all the memories of every life that we've lived, every experience that we've lived, but it's stored in our energy body and in various terms that our psychic anatomy. So we're able to tap into that in between lives when we read our life record, our Akashic record, to see what we've learned. As Kevin talked about that, you know, each lifetime can be considered a day in a class, and all those memories are stored. So it's not like they go away, but as Kevin mentioned and myself, if it was in your conscious mind, you literally would go crazy and you couldn't handle it. But as needed, as these cycles swing around, especially when you start on this pathway of progressive evolution and wanting to turn around that karma and understand your past life cause to the different situations you're in, you start to find out and discover and see those patterns and to see those past lives that you have lived. And that in itself, being a student, is very difficult and challenging, but it's also very rewarding as we are able to have the healings to accept who and what we were, and then it's no longer affecting us in the way that it has for, you know, lifetime after lifetime that we regenerated those experiences.
And Unarius is one of the few approaches to life that I've encountered that takes total responsibility for everything we've done, and we've done some horrendous things. Very few of the spiritual approaches that are provided to people give you that responsibility, which is where it belongs, and Unarius does. So I'm forever grateful to Unarius for that. And Unarius also forgave Satan, which is something that most spiritualities do not forgive the fallen. And
Unarius
is redeemed.
Yeah,
well,
he actually did that the right way.
Yeah, because essentially, if you look at it this way, an all-powerful, all-intelligent, infinite creator isn't going to hold anybody in judgment because they understand the total picture of life and the whys and the wherefores of what people are involved with. And so essentially, as Tracy was saying, you know, Satan, quote-unquote, forgave himself. He grew away from his contact with his angelic self, or degenerated, and then in turn he also, through his own recognitions, turned that around and became a light bearer again. So it does put the responsibility back on each one of us that, you know, it's not Satan making us do this or that, or God saying we're going to do this or that, but it's our purpose and our directive and our decision in our life that determines what we are going to become.
And we seem to grow in service through this spiritual evolution.
Absolutely. That is really what it's all about.
It is. And that's what all these so-called teachers who have incarnated on our planet to bring humanity forward, whether it was Socrates or Buddha or Akhenaten, all these different leaders in some way or form, whether it's political or spiritual or religious, so-called at that time and what people could understand at that time, these were all these advanced beings who chose to incarnate again on planet Earth so that they could shed a little light and help people to begin to understand in whatever form. And Unarius is up to date now for us in interdimensional science, but in previous civilizations, it wasn't presented that way because people couldn't understand it. But the same teaching has been brought through for people to begin to recognize that they have that higher infinite spark within themselves and to not worship something outside of themselves, but to take this concept of personal responsibility to make yourself a better person and thereby affect everyone around you and raise the frequency of our planet.
When people ask me, I don't worship anybody or anything either. I honor very many people and beings who've inspired me, who've made me strive to be more than I am and better than I am. But I don't really worship anyone because, again, that puts a responsibility on them and not on you. But that's an excellent point that if you look at these figures, even what we know about them through regular history, they were devoted to helping other people. They were devoted to assisting others. And a lot of times when people look to the divine, they almost see themselves as pets of the divine. They want to be taken care of and everything to be okay. But if you follow any spiritual teacher, that is not what happened to them when they were here. They had a really tough time of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's so true because, and really, you can see it whether today you can see it in people like Mother Teresa, where her whole purpose is to be of service to other people. And the confusion comes about in our consciousness and anybody's consciousness when they're trying to gather unto themselves material things, thinking that's somehow going to make them happy. And that's part of the lesson I think all of us are going through is learning that if you want to be truly happy, at peace with yourself, and attain that quote-unquote divine inner contact, that comes about being of service to others and giving of self and thinking of other people before yourself. And through that action, then you're putting yourself in alignment with that higher spiritual force.
Awesomely stated, Kevin. Tracy, anything to add to that?
He answered it very well.
Very good.
I took somebody's words out of their mouth. Sorry.
No, that's what happens when we're in.
You guys have been working
together
for quite a while, yeah.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, for those that don't know, you guys have a ton of information available for anybody who wants to pursue this topic a little bit further between the shows that we're doing together. There are YouTube videos, there are web pages, there are audio recordings. So Unarius makes it really easy to access the information gathered. And more than a lifetime's worth of study if you decide to dedicate yourself to it.
And there's also LA36.org, capital L, capital A, 36.org, has, I think it's about 20 or 30 of Unarius just shows, full-length shows that you can watch on demand at any time. So you're
so
right.
We do everything we can.
Story of information.
We do, and we as students, this is part of our overcoming, is to do everything we can to make it available to anybody who wants to make it a part of themselves or part of their lives or explore, you know, who and what they've been before, that we share this information that was brought by Ernest and Ruth Norman. And it's such a wonderful and different way of living. Everything that we want to do is to make sure that, again, it's available to anybody who wants to take that next step for themselves.
And I can personally vouch for that. My background is not identical, but it's similar in some very fundamental ways, although the stream that I'm connected with is more mythical. But I've come in contact with a lot of organizations that brought this type of material to humanity in the modern times. And Unarius is one of a small handful of organizations that truly help someone who's seeking out with tons of useful information. And you're all awesome people. I've had nothing but good interactions with Unarius since the days of first contact.
Well, that's the way it should be, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And that's part of you know, our – see, the thing is Hercules, for me, I know that on the opposite side of that, we're talking about negative past lives and how they influence you in the present. I know that I've been involved in church situations and church hierarchies and religious hierarchies in the past, meaning the Catholic Church or you know, the Calvinist movement, whatever. And in that way, thinking, you know, that if I dominated somebody else and took their money and said I was the hand of God, that, you know, I was going to be, you know, rewarded when I went over the other side. And of course, through that process, learned that, nope, that is not the way it works at all. So for me in this lifetime, I found nothing in you know, Christianity or religion that I could say, yes, this is a working principle in my life. And then when I contacted Unarius, then I began to see, oh, this is why I was so inhibited and had so many insecurities, is because of those different types of lives. So now it's extremely important for me to give people their own voice and have them understand, you know, here's a direction, here's principles that you can use, and it's not putting anything between you and your own God self, your own infinite self, your spark, but you can, you know, unfold this for yourself. So that's the vast difference, and that's the thing I love, is that it's not somebody up there telling you who and what you are and what you have to do. It's a learning proposition for every one of us.
And as we move through life. Go ahead, Tracy.
I was just going to add to what Kevin said. It's self-directed, and one of the things that I love about Unarius is when I first came and wanted to know, you know, where do I start? What books should I read? No one tells you what to do. The best answer that you're given is, well, follow your inner prompting. What are you pulled to? And you start to look through the books and you find what you need at that moment in time to study and learn and conceive. And that's the way it is with all students. It's definitely a self-directed, inner-directed study that you apply to your, you know, to yourself.
And I can vouch for that as well. And there's always someone there who knows various parts of the lore better than someone else. And I know that when I was looking for specific information, because that's where my inner promptings were pulling me, someone always got back to me within a day or two with, you know, where I could look to find this information, sometimes with the passages in the email. So I greatly appreciated that.
Yeah. And there was a time where you had a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Well, what finally happened, I was striving to see something, and with Hermes, that's a figure that's very important in the, I guess, theosophical, hermetic type of writings, which is where, again, that I'm more connected to that than anything else. So once I saw that Hermes was present in Unarius, and also his plane was present in Unarius, I started opening up and understanding a lot more, and I could access this directly because I was familiar with that that enough to go there and feel comfortable. And then from there, it opened up very many doors. So Hermes is the shower of the way. He's depicted as having the keys that open many doors. So in this case, that was very true.
Which is great. And it's wonderful to hear, you know, how your journey of what you've studied has brought you to what you're learning and conceiving and sharing with people about Unarius.
And I also tell people, because I teach lots of workshops, and I always preface it by telling people that I'm not going to tell them what to think or what to believe. I'm going to share with them the results of many years of seeking, And I'm going to share with him what I see based on where I've stood and what I've understood. But somebody in the class might say something that will give me a broader perspective or change everything. So I tell them not to get too attached to my words, but to use them to spark their own inquiries.
Absolutely. That's
yeah,
the way it should be.
And that's the Socratic method, is to, you know, lead people to discover it themselves and ask questions themselves. That's truly how we learn, when we make it our own.
That's very true. Now,
and interestingly, you brought that up, because that's something that when I was initially in my studies with Unarius, I had the opportunity to ask questions of Ruth Norman, and in more than one case and more than one time, and asking her certain questions, she said, you know, you really need to go in and study, because the answers are there. And if I just, you know, say this to you right now, it's not going to do you the good that and the benefit of you exploring and learning. And so it's really the Socratic method. It's the way we really learn, is rather than have somebody piecemeal it for us, is that we're engaged in the whole process of exploration and understanding ourselves.
It must have been awesome interacting with Ruth. She's one of my favorite individuals, because she was so uniquely herself.
Incredibly, she was a dynamo. She was an incredible dynamo. She was just I saw things and was involved with things when I was engaged with Ruth Norman in different situations that would just blow people's mind, and blew my mind, because it was, you know, somebody who had mastered themselves and showing that, you know, we read, you know, as you evolve, as you grow, you become more psychic, you become more clairvoyant, you become more in tune with this infinite force, and you radiate this. And you hear about it, you see it to a degree, but then you meet somebody who is just, like I said, she was a generator, this incredible positive generator. And you saw some of the things that she was doing and helping people with, and helped me with. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I have personified something that I've only read about. And so it was a wonderful thing that I needed to see the reality of this soul growth that any one of us at any given time can attain if we stick with it.
I remember go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and it was a wonderful experience to be in her aura in the physical. However, when you watch her on any of the Unarius videos, any of the documentaries that Unarius has produced over the years, and watch Uriel, you can still experience that same being in her presence, because it's regenerative. And it is amazing. She truly was a master of her consciousness. She was a cosmic visionary.
That she was. It's a shame the moderator had to leave so quickly. Were you able to meet him as well?
No, I was not. I began my studies at Unarius in 1975, and he had left in 68 or 69. And
71.
Okay, so it was shortly before I came on the scene. But you know, he came back with a specific mission. And once he'd accomplished that, he knew, and as he said throughout the text, and especially to Ruth, you know, when my time is done, I'm going to be leaving. That's just the end. I'm only here for a very short time. So, and I did have interaction with many of the students who had met and been with the moderator, and they got to share some personal stories with me that were amazing, and they are. In some of the texts of Unarius, some of the students talk about it or have written about their experiences with him and the psychisms that they had. So, again, as Tracy was saying, in the text and throughout the libraries, there's different ways that you can still have that awareness or proof or whatever you want to be able to understand who these cosmic visionaries were and what their purpose was.
And there's another important aspect, is that they're not gone. They're very much alive, and they're very much overshadowing and working with all these advanced beings to project to our planet. And a lot of students, most students still have psychic experiences with both the moderator Raphael is a spiritual name, and Uriel on the inner, whether it's a psychism or in dream state. And I had an experience with the moderator in dream state, oh, probably 15 years ago, that was more real than if he was, I was sitting next to him, and he talked to me very directly about studying one of the text Unarius's and how that would help me to conceive what the principles were really about and to keep studying. And it was beautiful, and I woke up and went, wow, I never expected that. Well, that's because he's never left. He's still with us, as all these brothers of light are.
When I was when I had the many questions and I was doing a lot of exploration, including meditations and so forth, I also had experienced them, and it was very comforting.
Yeah,
you know,
and
the thing is, it's just wild in one sense, but it's the way it should be when you really look at the bigger picture. That when you are when you involve yourself in this spiritual growth, you will experience these epiphanies and these openings of consciousness, where you have these contacts with these higher beings, and it's our proof that we need, they're the touchstones, in a sense. They're something that we really need in our lives, and when it happens, it's like, of course, this is the way. This is my proof. This is the reality of what I'm studying, and now I can see it manifesting in my life. So yeah, it's an amazing thing, and it's something that every student, as we study, and any person really, when they begin to open up their consciousness to this higher self, will have these experiences.
And I can vouch
for
it as well.
What I love, because I think this is really, this is unique, and I like sharing this because it goes right along with what we're talking about. Many years ago, we had a woman that came to Unarius, and I'm talking, gosh, 15, no, longer than that, probably 20 years ago. And she was a social science study religion person. You know, she came from a university, and she was going she was going to stay objective, and she was just going to study us. You know, and study how we interact and study what we're doing. But she's not going to get involved, and she's going to be able to report over time how we are and what we're doing and, you know, the different relationships that are taking place. Well, she kept coming to Unarius, I don't know, once every 6 months, 3 months, whatever, for years. And when she first showed up, she would always dress all in black and look very dour, and there's this, like, cloud of gray around her. And over the years, she lightened up and lightened up and lightened up. And finally, many years later, when she finally wrote her book, she had gone through psychic experiences with Unarius and these things that we're talking about, where she had these psychisms that she had to write about. And she said, you know, I know this, writing this in this book, for some is going to say, now you are no longer objective with the experiment of watching these people. But I can't deny the reality of what happened to me. And when you read it and read about, you know, what she had experienced, it's just like, well, there's the proof again of, you know, we are all involved in this, no matter how objective we'd like to think we are. If you are involved in these principles, or hanging around people talking about these principles, it affects every one of us in a positive way.
I remember reading that book, and I remember being impressed by that. There was also somebody who was doing a documentary that was very mocking initially, and said some very horrible things, which you guys fielded very diplomatically and in a friendly manner. And then he met Ruth Norman, who was sick at the time, but she granted him an audience. And by the end of the documentary, he was apologizing, having met her. And having seen what she was really all about, all the mockery had left him. So that impressed me very much as well.
Yeah, and there's that's the reality of what we are about, because and it's something that I have experienced over the years too, because what we are doing is so different than what the common ordinary person walking around in our Judeo-Christian society does, that it opens us up to a lot of criticism and what have you. But the thing that has happened over the years is the more that I've resolved and worked out the experiences of my past and my karma, the more I have seen people who initially were very critical come back for answers, because they realize, well, you know what, there's something here, there's something that touches me that I don't find anywhere else. And that's the reality of this contact with your spiritual self.
Before we go to break, Tracy, do you have anything to add to that?
I agree totally with what Kevin is saying, of course, and it's been over the years, we've seen this in our business and with our friends and family who we don't proselytize what we're doing with Unarius. That's not what Unarius is about. However, there have been numerous occasions where people have had psychic experiences or they've had problems in their life, and they come to us and will ask questions or confide about the experiences they've had, knowing that there's not going to be judgment passed, and there's something that's different about being a student that they don't understand, but they feel that frequency, and they can't pinpoint what it is, but they know that there's something different and that they'll get some insight that they typically don't get anywhere else. And I want to retrace that statement by saying it's not something that we do with our conscious mind or from an egotistical standpoint. It's that love of the brothers coming through our consciousness that people feel, and usually when they seek these, you know, answers or have questions and seek, you know, are seeking answers, the information that comes through is very beneficial to them. And they'll say, I just don't know what it is about you, but I feel like I can tell you this, or I can ask this question. And it's wonderful to see, because that's demonstrating love in action and not taking, not taking it from ego standpoint, but learning how to be of service, as these brothers have done for us and are constantly doing over eons of time.
That's a lot to think about, and someday we'll be among them and doing what they do for others.
Absolutely.
We're going to go to break now, and we're going to hear Bone Poets Orchestra's song Oracle. I don't think it has anything to do with ancient Greece, but anyway, I will put it on. And when we come back, we're going to have some Unarius students adding to the conversation, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Everyone, I'm going to put you on hold for a few minutes.
All right. All right.
Come away.
Well, I'm ready to
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Greetings, we are back. This is Hercules Invictus and Voice of Olympus, the e-radio show that covers the mythic in today's world. And we're in the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Tonight's show is called Exploring Past Lives, the Unarian Revelations, Part 1. And we're here with Tracy and Kevin Kennedy from the Unarius Academy of Sciences. And we've just been joined by Jennifer Stovall, a Unarius student of many years. Welcome back, everybody.
Thank you, Hercules.
Hey. Hello.
Hello. So, Jennifer, during the break, you were telling me of that you've been with Unarius since 1976 and that what sings to your soul is the creativity that Unarius encourages and allows you to experience. And that's an awesome thing. Tell us about some of your latest artistic endeavors.
Well, currently I've gotten involved in some different things. For one, I'm working on writing some of the experiences that I had those years ago when we took part in the different psychodramas. So we're actually looking back and writing up for what may become a docudrama on television. So that's very exciting. Yes.
And I have a parallel with that. For years, I've been running like role-playing game, which is interactive storytelling. And recently, someone with a gaming company has been talking to me about possibly taking some of these adventures, which are kind of like psychodrama, and making them into some sort of writing that more people can enjoy them. So that must be very exciting for you. I know it's very exciting for me to be in that particular position.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, that is very exciting idea.
Well, it's exciting for us because one of the things that I know Jennifer did and we were all involved with this creativity in doing the psychodramas is it was what we've termed now process filmmaking, meaning it just wasn't, you know, acting or whatever, but we were involved in it and growing by enacting our past lives and seeing those and going through those things again that we did in those past lives. So it was a very, many times traumatic, but extremely freeing process of objectification of these emotional traumas.
And now, these many years later, to look back and then to see them and to see how rich they were with the experiences that are relative now. You know, that it just wasn't for that time that it really does have that influence, and you can start to see that continuity is really wonderful.
And that we experience these things time and again until we learn the lessons, or maybe they're part of the teaching process. I've been wondering that a lot lately in contemplating current events.
Yes.
That's a wonderful way to see more of your past with anything that you see outside in the political arena, religious, whatever that's going on, anytime there's that emotional reaction, that's the clue that there's your involvement from your past playing out on, you know, the stage today. And there's a lot of good information out there for us to learn from.
Most certainly so. These are certainly interesting times.
Yes, they are.
Now, Jennifer, today's show is about exploring past lives. Have you explored your past lives beyond the psychodramas, or are the psychodramas the primary vehicle for exploring your past lives?
Well, yes, beyond the psychodramas, everyday life can you spend the time, you have that time at the end of the day to reflect on what has transpired with different people, places. And one thing students are very encouraged to do is to keep a journal and to go over the day's events and to really look at, you know, what took place, what fears came on, what stood out in terms of very unusual, or what happened that was so amazing. And when you start to keep a journal and you get this help from these beings of light, the space brothers, as we call them, you get that help. You get that inner knowing. So it becomes a process of knowing that there is, you're touching on something from the past, which you can then look at, and you don't need to do a psychodrama, because life can become a psychodrama. Experiences become a psychodrama very naturally.
Lately, I've been observing how circumstances mirror themselves. I've noticed this before, but lately I've been noticing it a lot because my attention's been on it. But it seems like any type of situation you find yourself in, and this is true on a grand scale like the political arena, but also on a smaller daily scale, is that circumstances will give you different perspectives.
Yes.
So if you're going through a particular type of situation that may be difficult, someone close to you might be going through a similar situation, but representing the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look past like being supportive of each other and just agreeing with your friend, you can see that there's a dynamic going on rather than just a bunch of random events. And that's kind of scary at times because of the information revealed by looking into these mirrors.
Yes. Yeah. You can always get that reflection.
Now, I have favorite lives. Part of me, although I no longer feel the need to act on it, part of me was very thrilled with being an Orion space barbarian, and I enjoyed playing that out for years. And it wasn't so much the the violence or the tyranny or things like that. It was what you often find in those type of cultures, where there's almost like a nobility and a sacrifice to something higher. So the ethos wasn't always oppressive and dark, at least not for everybody involved. But there was a lot of the, a heroic warrior type of things that we find in mythologies. And I'm still very resonant with a lot of the world's mythologies. And that has provided me with a very different perspective on those incarnations. I might have dealt with them differently other times around, but this time around, I'm seeing that although they produced negative results and I wouldn't want to do anything like that again, there was a part of them that wasn't selfish. There was a part of them that wasn't controlling. There was a part of them that was also an offering to a different way of looking at things and a love of freedom and things like that. So I'm learning that in this lifetime, and I guess I'll need to learn it so I can finally let go of all these things and move past them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it'll come naturally as you see more of your involvement and your motivation and your intention from your past. You'll no longer be relative to it.
No, I find that even this time around.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, as Tracy was saying, is in these different lifetimes, even the most horrible lives we have lived, we're doing some things that we would think completely revolting in this lifetime. There were experiences even in those times that could have added to that higher self or that more positive self. And now, though, what we are trying to do as progressive people is to look at the energy coming into our life now. And by that reflection, saying, okay, if this came from this particular past, how can I put it out of phase? What do I need to objectify from that particular life that is causing me or pushing me around and making me be a person I don't want to be? So, those different lifetimes, you weren't evil, every second of the day. You couldn't be. But the idea is obviously is that the positive experiences will take care of themselves. What we want to do is understand where we went wrong, quote unquote, so to speak. Or I would like to even say rather than go wrong, where we used the energy selfishly.
Right. And what was normal hundreds of years ago, now there's this updating that needs to be done on the solic level and that understanding.
Yeah, even in our lifetimes, different ways of looking at things like political correctness and other ways that we've developed of looking at right and wrong. I stayed neutral in this political debate for a variety of reasons, but I had folks in my life who very strongly believed on both sides or differing sides. So I listened, to what they were saying. I weighed and voted as my conscience led me to. But I know very many intelligent people who believe the opposite of what I believed. And I no longer get caught up in those type of arguments. But it was, again, very interesting to see that sometimes both sides wanted the same thing.
Right.
And the only disagreement there was what the best way to get it or who the best person was to bring it about. And that they didn't really disagree on a lot of the important issues, the human issues, but it was just this political perspective that was at odds and caused the conflict.
Right. And you put something in each one, and it was, I think it was a real challenge to remain impersonal and not critical because, you know, the main thing is to recognize that emotion, that mirror that you're seeing from coming from another life.
So that was the thing that we as students focused on rather than saying, you know, again, as it is with religion, you know, that priest is going to give my word to God and I'm going to be okay. Or, you know, in this case, that politician is going to make my life right and that one's going to make it wrong. And the reality is psychic liberation comes from within ourselves. And the real freedom of consciousness comes from within ourselves. And there's nothing anybody exterior is going to do for you in a material sense that's going to give you that soulless liberation that you want.
Yeah, that is something you have to earn for yourself.
Absolutely.
We've just been joined by our second guest today, Paula Greenfield. So I'm going to welcome her into the conversation. Greetings,
Hi,
Paula.
Thank you.
Greetings.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, Paula.
So we didn't get a chance to talk during the break, but I'll remedy that on the next show. Why don't you tell us about yourself and what drew you to Unarius and how you explore your own past lives?
I became a student of Unarius in 1982 when I was going through a very serious depression and drug abuse and was very near to committing suicide.
Ooh.
And I found my way to the Unarius Golden Halls of Wisdom. And when I made the contact with Unarius, I intentionally went there for the purpose of healing because I had learned from a fellow Unarian student, and I was not a student at the time, that when somebody abuses drugs, they open themselves up to lower astral entities. And I had just had a near-death experience and was sensing these lower astral entities, and this Unarian student invited me to Unarius for a special flame healing ceremony. And I was informed that at this ceremony, these higher minds and brothers from these higher celestial dimensions remove these lower astral entities from you and also any obsessions that we are attached to from our own thought forms and from other disincarnate entities. And so initially I went to Unarius for this healing, for that flame ceremony. And as I became more acquainted with the teachings, I came to realize what I was reliving from a past life where I killed myself in India. Mm. And also had abused drugs and opium. And I learned in multiple lifetimes that I have killed myself and abused drugs and alcohol and hash and various sundry lower negative activities. And so for me, initially, it was for the healing that I came to Unarius.
And you're still there, so I'm assuming you found it at Unarius.
I did find it at Unarius. And over time, as I developed strength and learned, began to study the Unarius principles, I learned how to recognize when I'm reliving a past life without getting to the extent on the brink of suicide. And I learned how to change those negative energies that are in my psychic anatomy through past life therapy. And so as I live my life and any time I have any aversion, whether it's to a coworker or a family member or a friend, I journal and analyze what is it that I'm reliving that is causing these negative reactions that I'm having, and including in the political arena, watching the news. And I've had my own emotional, visceral reactions to things that are going on politically and globally. And so I rationalize and analyze, self-analyze, what I'm reliving and why I'm having these reactions. And by doing that, I'm able to cancel out those negative, aberrated energy waveforms that are part of my psychic anatomy. And it changes into a positive, a beautiful positive energy. And so I have a more well-balanced life and live more in joy and happiness and love. Love is the big key that I found with Uriel when I first met her and throughout all these years as a student.
One thing she won't say in Hercules that I'll toot her horn is that after Paula made the contact is that she now, many years later, after having all this healing, now she's you're a psychologist, correct, Paula? And then you help the soldiers coming back from these horrendous wars with their PTSD, et cetera. She's turned her life around as a selfless person completely in how she deals with others and helps others.
Yes, I'm a clinical social worker, and I provide psychotherapy for active duty soldiers with PTSD. And so, and even in my day-to-day work, I find that when I'm positive and in coming from a positive state of consciousness, these soldiers, they don't know it, but they sense that energy, and they leave my office feeling much better, even if we don't do psychotherapy, because I know that Uriel's energy is flowing through me when I'm in a positive state of mind, and these soldiers are feeling that those energies. And in addition to that, I'm recognizing privately what my own past life is with this soldier. And by my recognition of my past life with them, I'm able to turn around those energies between that person and myself, and a healing occurs.
That is impressive. That is quite awesome. I was in the human services for many years, for over 3 decades. And I know that your state of mind and just being a positive presence, that's what's most healing. I never thought I had any special wisdom or insights to offer people, but I could supportively listen and help them see another perspective because they couldn't, because they were caught up in whatever it was they were caught up in. So that's an awesome thing that you're in the human services.
Indeed, very similar to the work that I do. It's all related in that health-serving field.
Now, I want to extend the episode by 15 minutes. Is that okay with everybody here? Does anybody need to leave?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah,
good. Because we had a great bunch of people here. We're just getting warmed up. Unfortunately, we have to end soon, but I'd like to pose a question for everybody. We'll go in order. Tracy, would you like to start?
Sure.
Okay. In the Unarian teachings, what is it exactly that reincarnates? I know my thinking has changed tremendously, in part thanks to Unarius's perspective, but you would better represent that perspective than I would. What is it that reincarnates?
Well, it's not the physical body. We're overshadowed by a psychic anatomy, which exists in another dimension, higher frequency than the third dimension. And as we reincarnate over and over again, the psychic anatomy to each lifetime, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, each lesson, each lifetime that we have, and we're trying to rebuild our super consciousness so that it's of a higher frequency, and we're polarizing these experiences that we've learned from these past life traumas that we've had. As we get ready to incarnate again, it's very abstract, but for to make it as simple as possible, we try and find a compatible mother and father who are about to conceive a baby to then, and we don't do this in a conscious way. This is done through frequency relationships. So we're attracted to the parents that are going to provide the best lessons for us in the next lifetime of what we've essentially in our higher self and read our Akashic in between lifetimes. No, okay, these are the lessons that I need to learn. I'll give you a very good example, Mozart, and I'm not a Mozart, that's I'm not trying to compare myself, but he in his in-between lifetimes knew that he was going to incarnate into a very musical family so that he would be able to bring through music of a higher nature to, again, help raise the frequency of the planet. So what reincarnates? Each lifetime we develop a new subconscious. That's all the experiences from this current lifetime. A new physical body, but it will carry a lot of things, those characteristics that we've had in previous lifetimes. We may look similar to what we've looked like in previous lifetimes. We incarnate with birthmarks. Those birthmarks are actually indicators of psychic trauma that's happened to us in past lives.
Wow.
I'm going to give somebody else an opportunity.
Okay, Kevin?
Same question. What reincarnates?
Yes.
The most common thing people would say would be it's the soul, but it is that energy body that is the motivator behind the physical body that reincarnates into the world. So I like to look at it this way, is that if you look at a glacier in the ocean, you see the top of it and you say, wow, isn't that magnificent? And then when you go underwater, there's this huge amount of the ice that you don't see. So in the same sense, the physical body is the portion that we learn in this third dimension with, but what we don't see is a tremendous energy body that forms our soul, our psychic body, our energy self, that is the actual force behind that physical body that reincarnates into this world. So you can say, but you know, the thing is that it's a closed circuit system. There's not like the higher self is way off there in the distance somewhere, and the lower self is here in the physical body, and those inner dimensions are way out there and we're down here. There's this interconnectedness between all things, and the energy self is the motivator behind what this physical body is doing in the third dimension. So what reincarnates, I would say, is that intelligence that we had filled into that energy body. And I say intelligence very loosely because something very negative still has, quote-unquote, intelligence. It may not be of a positive, constructive nature, but it is information. Let's say it that way. So it's the information that we've stored in that energy body that is reincarnating into this world to learn.
Well, between the both of you, you answered that question very comprehensively. So I'm going to ask Jennifer and Paula, do you want to tackle the same question or do you want me to pose a different question to you?
I'd like to add to that.
I would too. But go ahead, Paula.
All right,
okay.
Yes. So I would say that in addition to humans reincarnating over and over in human bodies or in human-like bodies on other planets, that also our pets, our pet cats, our pet dogs, they reincarnate. I remember when I first became a student at Unarius, when at that time they had the cassette tapes, Uriel voiced a cassette tape for children talking about how their pet cats and dogs reincarnated. And subsequently to that time, I have, I'm a cat woman, I have several pet cats. And over the years, I have come to realize that three of my current cats, they're in their third incarnation with me. And it was through their physical appearances, their personalities, how I recognized that they have reincarnated back to me. And in part because I had some guilt with them from the first time I had them in my life. And so they, and because of my love and attachment to them, they reincarnated back to me. So it's not just humans that reincarnate, but also pets and animals. And Ernest Norman talked about the evolution of life all the way from the amoeba through the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom, and then human, so Homo sapiens, and then we evolve even beyond that into the higher realms and the angelic realms and into infinity.
Wow.
Yes, Jennifer, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's covered so well, but just a couple things that I thought of was that when we go to bed at night and we lay our physical body down and then we get up the next day, in a sense, in a very short sense, we're reincarnating day to day. And then depending on where we go when we sleep, do we go out to the inner worlds for sleep teaching or for healing? Or do we go out around with what we've been in tune, we call it in tune with, that day? So, and then if you go life to life, you're thinking in terms of in between lives, being going to these spiritual worlds, higher spiritual worlds, and being taught, and then coming back with that information and all of that as well, with your consciousness, with that information, will be incarnating with that soul and through the information of the psychic anatomy. I just wanted to.
Wow, that's an awesome way of looking at it. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, I have another question. The next question is going to be about overshadowing. For the past few years, that's been a focus of mine, and using the analogy of the sleep and the dreams and each day being an incarnation and each night going to the in-between realms. Lately, I've been focusing a lot on the fact that there is a higher knowing, which Tracy had touched upon earlier. And through my dream work, I encountered this every now and then where I'll go into settings of dreams that I've forgotten long ago, you know, dreams from years back, and there they are, they're still there, and they can still be entered and experienced and so forth. And even though my conscious mind did not remember that, some part of me certainly retained every second of it. So there must be a part of us that keeps track of these things and remembers. And again, Tracy had touched upon it today. So my ideas of overshadowing use that particular practical analogy that I'm encountering in my work. How would Unarius and how would you personally explain overshadowing? And I guess we'll start with Kevin this time.
Well, the whole idea that Unarius teaches about this overshadowing, and whether we call them the space brothers or spirit guides or the angelic forces that work with every one of us, the reality is none of us would survive a second in this world if we didn't have that overshadowing of this very intelligent force that we have contacted in between lives and are helping us from the inner planes. So in my life, I like to be as open as I can to that higher force, that higher intelligence that can overshadow and is overshadowing everybody, so that I can activate that instead of the subconscious lower frequencies that I may be going around with in my day-to-day in earthly existence. So because I'm an artist, what I've learned in Unarius and what I've seen is that when I'm really open to spirit or open to that overshadowing influence of these higher intelligent beings, wonderful things happen. And you look at it later on, whether it's a painting or a video that I've worked on or music or whatever, when it's inspired by this overshadowing force of these intelligent beings, it carries a different frequency. It carries an intelligence that's obvious. It carries a love that people feel. When I do it from my conscious mind, where I'm trying to be something, where I'm trying to build up an ego about something, then it usually falls flat. And, you know, honestly, that's how I'm learning is when it's, you know, when it's coming from the inner, when it's coming from those overshadowing, loving beings, it carries something really, really incredible. And when it falls flat, I go, okay, well, there we go. Here's another lesson to learn. And it's obvious I got a lot of lessons to learn. So
we all do.
Yeah, and so it's a wonderful exploration. It's a wonderful process of learning how to open my mind to that higher source and make sure I'm plugged into that with all the different things I do. And should be for everybody. It doesn't matter what we're doing, whether we're baking a cake or building a home or doing a painting or writing books. We want to, as Unarius teaches us, be open to that higher inspirational force.
Thank you. Very well said. Tracy?
Well, Kevin said it extremely well. And one of the things that I could add that is important is that we all have this ability. We all have a higher self, and our purpose is to grow and develop that higher self. And the most important way that we can do that is to, number one, recognize we have a higher self, two, recognize that there are these advanced beings who want to help us, and three, by removing the blocks that keep us from being able to experience that. And we do that through past life therapy, because when we have all this negativity that's affecting our consciousness, we're vibrating at a lower frequency. When we recognize what that past life block is and have that healing, it opens us up to a higher frequency and we become more receptive, and that's when we can experience this overshadowing influence. And it's there all the time, and people experience it all the time. They might be driving in a car, taking a shower, which is very symbolic of cleaning your psychic while you're washing away the dirt and debris. But when we're in those relaxed states of mind and we receive those flashes of insight, that's from your higher self. And the proof is in the pudding. If it's, as Kevin mentioned, not from the ego self, but it just seemingly comes in effortlessly, that's when we're experiencing that overshadowing influence. It can have profound effects. And it also can be very simple things that we find an easier way to do something. It's like, well, where did that come from? Well, it came from your higher self. And it came because you're open to inspiration and that overshadowing influence. And that's what Lao Tzu called the effortless way. When things just flow in your life, and that's the way that we all want to live, when we have that overshadowing influence. And we can, and we have the tools to do that.
Thank you. We'll go to Jennifer next.
Yes, it's interesting because I thought of the book. There is the flow, which it addresses that, and also that throughout the Unarius books with the moderator or Uriel and the different channels, the different beings of light that came through, these higher beings would identify themselves in terms of who was coming through and who was overshadowing the channel at the time. And then it has been said that even no matter how high of a level that these masters, these teachers become, there are those overshadowing them. So there's always higher beings, these beings of light and love to look forward to in the future.
Thank you so very much. So we're continuously growing, we're continuously developing, we're continuously evolving. That too is comforting. And last but certainly not least, Paula?
Yes, I'd like to share some of my personal experiences with overshadowing from a creative perspective. When I first made the contact with Unarius, I was just, I had just finished an art school program, and so I had an artistic background, and prior to Unarius, before I would paint or draw or sketch, particularly with painting, I had an affinity with Leonardo da Vinci, and I would meditate to him and call on him to help me with my painting. And I'm not saying he helped me with my painting, by far he's a master artist of all artists, but that was part of my preconditioning, which I later learned that he's one of the Unarius brothers, Leonardo da Vinci. And when Uriel first asked me to do a painting for her, she explained to me that that these brothers from these higher worlds, from the creative plane of Muse, and Muse is a celestial plane that is, that is involves all of the arts, with art, music, writing, dance, sculpting, literature. And she told me that when I painted this painting, that these artists, these master artists from these higher worlds would be overshadowing me. And as I began to paint this painting, I felt lost with it. And all of a sudden, this transcendency came over me in the form of drowsiness. And one of the things that Unarius talks about, when this type of power comes over you, you become so transcended and drowsy that you appear to lay down and go to sleep. But what happens is your psychic body leaves your physical body and travels to this higher astral creative plane. And as I started working on this painting, that drowsiness overcame me because I was overshadowed by this very advanced higher mind from the plane of Muse. And I lay down right at my easel and where my canvas was. And I don't know how long I was out of my body, but when I woke up, I was invigorated and was painting so rapidly and quickly and so beautifully and eloquently. And that was my first experience as a Unarian student, being overshadowed by a higher advanced creative artist. And as Kevin talked about, and all of them did, this inspiration from the from your higher self and from your connection with these higher minds, that's one of the elements of being overshadowed. And that was my personal experience with it. And since then, I'm doing writing, and I was a dancer, and so I think I was overshadowed with my dancing and creative endeavors and my affinity to that artistic plane of Muse.
Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Lately, what I've been experiencing with my overshadowing is I no longer feel that it's my ego that incarnates, but I feel that my ego, my expression here, is kind of like our expressions of our conscious self in the unconscious when we're dreaming. So it's not like I'm living again and again and again, but something is living through me.
Yeah,
and not that it means that I'm relinquishing, you know, control, or you know, I'm still very much myself, but it feels like I'm part of a process rather
well,
than
you're
being
serving.
A soul.
Yeah, you're
yes,
serving
yes.
others, so that would come through. Sounds like yeah.
And that's what I've been identifying with more and more as my studies progress. That I'm an expression of something else that's learning through me. And this is real to me, and it's important, but I'm part of a process of learning. I don't know how to better express that, but it's again, I'm not. This isn't me. This is part of me. This is the part of me that's here now, and there. It's not as important as I thought it once was, even though it's still very important.
Right. Well, you're departing from the material life, and those dreams that you're having and remembering, they're part of your polarized super consciousness. So they're always going to be part of you, and you'll always be able to access those those polarized experiences that you've had.
And
thank
also,
you.
in your dream state, you are most likely traveling to some of these higher realms and attending classes at night, which is called sleep teaching, and which is helping progress you further in your own evolution and in the work that you're doing right now and talking to others and spreading truth to truth seekers. And so it's all part of your own development and your own connection to these higher your higher self and the higher minds working with you, awake and asleep.
Thank you very much.
We're
coming to the end of this particular exploration, but we're together again in a couple of weeks. I have the information right here. On episode 41, which is Monday, December 19th, we're going to be continuing this. And I think the topic for next time will be creativity and psychodrama, which are the ways that Unarius explores the past lives and helps transmute them by giving the world beauty. So I'd like to have you all back at that time. Before we go, if everyone can please share how folks can tap into Unarius, and also if they want to share how folks can contact them, that'd be great as well.
Sure. So the best way to start is to contact Unarius's website, and it's unarius.org. There's a plethora of information there, links to other websites, access to the online store where all the books are, links to the public access stations where we air Unarius shows on, several stations live stream Unarius shows. You can also call Unarius 1-800-475-7062 and request literature, and or email us at uriel@unarius.org and request information, and we'll be happy to answer any questions and or send you information.
Thank
and
you.
We also stream our classes live on Wednesday and Sunday night, and people are welcome to check those out. 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
We have programs on it's LA 36, and you can
yes.
see Unarius programs under public access, and there's the infinite concept of cosmic creations, as well as some of these psychodramas that were done.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Hercules.
Thank you, and I had an awesome time, and I always have an awesome time, and I look forward to having you guys back on in a couple of weeks. Be well. Take care.
Right. Thank you.
You
too. Thank
you.
Thanks.
Bye.
And to those at home, goodbye. Thank
bye.
You for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.